Welcome to the Saturday morning VFL football show. AFL Victoria Operations Manager John Hook. Welcome to the program, John.
Thank you, fellas.
Last time we spoke, we actually had you up in the commentary box, and you had a very interesting debate with Phil Cleary, who's no longer with us, so we'll save you that bake this morning.
Oh, well, always happy to debate things with Phil.
Yes, it was quite an interesting debate, though, because, you handled yourself so well with some interesting questions from him, but looking at the competition now, we've moved into, the halfway mark of season 2009. How have you seen the competition shaping up at this moment?
Oh, look, we're pretty happy with it. I mean, I think it's, again, fairly even if you have a look at the ladder. Probably disappointing that Frankston, who had such a good year last year, is obviously struggling a little bit. I admire Frankston for the fact that they're a standalone club and they play a great part in our pathway, certainly with the Dandenong Stingrays boys. Great ratio of those kids play there, but they're still a good side down there. But overall, I think the competition's, as I say, when it's fairly even like it is, that's probably an indication that it's going along pretty well.
Well, you mentioned Frankston. They're a local team too. KC Radio, there's been some financial concerns there, a change in president during the off-season, and a club really looking to rebuild. They've had their marketing campaign about trying to register 2,000 members in 2009 to really give them a bit of backing and a footing to really build. Have you seen the Frankston development down there? St Kilda nearly moved there in 2008, decided to set up base at Seaford. They really are starting to call out during facing some real financial hurdles.
Yeah, I think that's always been the case, but the fact that the grandstand burning down, before the season, last season, certainly hasn't helped. I mean, when it's a day that might be a bit iffy, people will stay away if they've got nowhere to shelter out of a potentially bad weather. That has a direct effect on their income streams when you look at people going through the gate and what they might spend on, pies, bars, whatever it may be. So that hasn't helped, but it's always a struggle. I mean, we're always working with Brian Mason and the committee down there to and the council for that matter, because we see that as an integral part of football in Victoria. I mean, to have that side down there, strategically down there. So, and as I said before, they play a important part in the pathway, kids who don't get drafted out of Dandenong Stingrays, which obviously takes in all that Mornington Peninsula area. They play an extremely important part of those kids going into the VFL system. And probably when you look back, they've probably been successful in having players drafted into the AFL ranks more so than a lot of other VFL clubs. So that in itself gives you an indication of their importance, I think, strategically.
Oh, look, yeah, I definitely agree. I can't see a VFL being as strong without the Frankston alignment for many reasons, and just their location as one. Environmental factors, you mentioned the grandstand getting burnt down, has played a big part in season 2009 with recent news of the QE Oval up in Bendigo being unavailable for football, and also the Riccia Stadium development, which had so much progress going forward at the end of 2008 for the North Ballarat side.
Mm.
You can't control it, but it's really putting some damage into, you mentioned integral parts of AFL Victoria. Well, some of that is regional football.
Oh, well, it does. It doesn't help. I mean, but we'll take North Ballarat first. I mean, North Ballarat, their council has spent considerable sum on upgrading the ground, which need to be done going forward for a VFL team, and obviously for future things like maybe regional NAB challenge games up there. That's just unfortunate that it's just been delayed. That we didn't fix them. I think for about the first 4 or 5 weeks, Obviously, hopefully, get that ground will be raring to go. That hasn't happened because of other sometimes conditions and grasses. They take a little bit longer. I mean, that'll be okay. I mean, it's just probably an inconvenience, and North Ballarat could probably weather the storm because they're a good financial club. They've got their gaming and all that. So, and they're able to still play, able to get grounds within their region to play on, which they're doing this week. We take the recent events of Bendigo. That's disappointing because we all got to understand that we had some concerns raised by a number of VFL clubs that played there recently. And we've got to understand there's a lot of AFL players playing our competition, and there's a greater duty of care. I'm not with obviously players playing there on big contracts, and you got in the ground expectation. If it's dangerous, you've got to. Well, from our point of view, we have to check these things out, and we did that. We had the ground checked out. We couldn't play football this week. We're hoping, we've spoken with the council, we're hoping that I don't think they play there for about another 3 to 4 weeks, about a month, so we'll just reassess that. But in saying that, taking the games away from Bendigo doesn't help the Bendigo Bombers financially. It puts enormous pressure on them. You know, they're trying to get a foothold with their local sponsors, with their signage around the ground, all the revenues are coming from that. The local people don't see them play up there, and you know it's hard enough competing in that town with such a strong league. But the fact is, the ground could be dangerous for players playing there, and the risk of injury is far greater. And we just couldn't allow it to play there. Much as we'd love to be, we don't want to put extra pressure on Bendigo Bombers, but there is a duty of care we have to with players playing in our competition.
Well, looking away from just the surface at Bendigo, that's one issue that they face. But their on-field performances also would have been some concerns for everyone at the VFL, because their reserve team have been conceding a lot of goals. And last weekend, for example, they were 1 point to half-time against Sandringham. They haven't been competitive. And now not playing at Bendigo and building on that regional support, which you mentioned as being vital, and the ground not being there has put a big hole in that. But there was so much momentum built up at Bendigo. They were no longer the easy beats. They were starting to get some good performances on the ground. But now they've gone back. Now they're playing at Windy Hill. Will this put more pressure on the alignment, or do you see the Bendigo future strong going forward?
Well, I've got to say that from AFL Victoria's point of view, and certainly the Essendon Footy Club, is that, you know, And David Joss and Peter Ludovic, the CEO and president of Bendigo Bombers, I mean, we all want for it to succeed. There's no doubt about that. I mean, if we can give clubs in regional and help with the country kids and pathways into VFL footy, that's one of the things that we're around for. We're around to be a good competition where we can hopefully feed in players like the Nahas and Pickin, but two great examples this year. We want to create more of a pathway for so that we are another good recruiting ground for AFL. In saying that, I just digress a little bit on that, but we all want that to succeed up there.
Yeah.
But you're right. These things are putting enormous financial pressure on the Bendigo. It's no fault of theirs, and it's no fault of, but the fact is, that is one of the strategic things we have to overcome for that going forward, is that ground issue, because you've got a ground that is overused. There's no doubt about it. It wouldn't matter if we get a cherry ripe for next year.
Yep.
The same thing will happen going forward. So that is a strategically a very important issue we have to overcome. How are we going to do that? Well, that's going to entail the council and I mean, you've got two clubs traditionally in the Bendigo League have been playing there for over 100 years, so it's a very hard one to, from a political point of view, but it's a reality. You cannot have three clubs playing every weekend there, sometimes two games a week, probably sometimes three games five games on a given weekend, plus, training 5 nights a week. No, that ground would probably be the most used ground in nearly Australia, I should imagine. And it doesn't matter how much work and how much money you could renovate the ground for, spend $1 million in getting the ground right. Unless you have the usage plan that is compatible, you'll have the same issues. So that is strategically something we have to help with the Bendigo Bombers for them to going forward. But to answer your question, we want it to succeed, but there's no doubt there's a lot of pressure from a financial aspect of their revenue, obviously not playing in the town and things that they would normally do, is going to affect their budget.
Are you concerned about their results on the field, though? Does that?
Well, look, certainly from a reserves point of view, I think a little bit more competitive, or even though they haven't lost a game, they haven't won a game in the seniors. It was interesting though, one game they had about 16, they had about 15 or 16 Essendon players in their side, AFL players, and they still got done. So it's a pretty good competition, the VFL competition we're playing in. The reserves is a concern. Again, I think that has to do, I think you can link that in a little bit to the home base, you know.
So
those sort of things where you've got to it's got to be a feel of out of a club, and having a feel of a club is having a real home base.
Yep.
And I don't think that's one of the, as I keep on saying, strategically, I don't think that's been able to be addressed, but it has to be addressed for the long-term future or viability of the club.
Now, talking of long-term success and viability, big plus for this week of looking at round nine is the Melbourne Football Club aligning themselves with the Casey Fields project and the city of Casey for the next 30 years, which closes that chapter and can now really look to build some momentum. Melbourne coming off a successful alignment with Sandringham, where they won so many premierships. The success here, we can sense it as being in the local community of Melbourne's presence in the Casey area has really grown, and they're starting to play some good football for a young developing team. So momentum's a really big thing in football
this caper,
and it's fantastic for Casey Fields and AFL Victoria.
No, well, I think they've got a lot going for it. It's a fantastic growth area. The city of Casey itself is one of the great, is a really pro, well, sport council. I'm not saying just football, but they've done a fantastic job with Casey Fields. Certainly Melbourne is, I know Chris Conley very well, and Chris is really keen on to develop that sort of Melbourne feel down there in that area. It's such a large growth area. You know, you've got the Casey Scorpions. I've known Peter German's a very good coach. He coached at Hawthorn when I was there, and he's an excellent coach. Had a lot of success when he's in Tassie, over in Subiaco and Perth, and obviously in the AFL environment. So they've got a bit going for them. It's just when you can see that probably. And you turn back the clock 5 years ago when the old Springvale, they were dying on their knees in an area that was no longer a football area.
Yep.
They're in a great growth corridor, a lot of football around it. So, and Melbourne are very keen to, along with their partnership with their alignment with Casey's Scorpions, I see that as a real winner, and I agree with you. To have that sort of commitment and the council wanting that AFL presence as well as the VFL, I mean, it's really great.
John, Casey Fields, though, itself, will this be used as an example going forward, looking at situations in Bendigo and also in North Ballarat, where they've got four or five ovals and they've put so much money into it and really looking to develop it? The only thing blocking Casey Fields from supporter growth is the fact it doesn't have accessible public transport at the moment.
No, that's true. But that'll probably come in when you've got growth areas like that. You have to ask the government that. You're quite right. But I mean, down the track, that'll probably happen. And to have that sort of vision, you need a council that's got to be really behind you, and that's why I commend the Casey Council. And you've got a lot of. I mean, Wyndham's very supportive with Werribee, and you've got the Hume Council there with the Craggyburn development out there. So there's a lot of infrastructure that's gone into footy. I think footy was probably, when we look at the old VFA grounds, as we know them, that are now we call VFL, you know, there's probably 30 years of, I reckon, neglect by councils, but to the credit of councils and the AFL itself and the state government, as you know, there's been a lot of money going into the infrastructure of grounds over the years. We're seeing some fantastic work being put in. When you look at Williamstown and obviously Wyndham and North Ballarat and all these sort of you keep going through them. There's a few on the drawing board. Box Hill with their second stage of their development out there. It's really been a fantastic thing for footy. I'd like to see cricket put a bit more money into when they like to share the grounds, but they put no money in. So but they've been probably bludging off footy for about the last 100 years anyway.
At every level. But
You're quite right, at every level.
Now, John, Visy Park, I have some concerns with the way it's been run. Now, this is not a blight on AFL Victoria. I'm not too sure who's to look at or who to put the blame on. Collingwood play there, which in 2009, their supporter increase has probably been 100%. The amount of people going out to watch Collingwood games, both who barrack for Collingwood and against Collingwood, have been quite amazing. They get to Visy Park, and if you arrive before 1 o'clock, the public gates aren't open. And then there's not sufficient food and general maintenance that the crowd require to actually have that serviceable. Now, is that AFL Victoria's responsibility to get things in place? Is it the club's responsibility,
or is it
Visy Park?
It is the club's responsibility. I mean, Collingwood pay. I think we've got to be a bit careful there. We're talking about a ground that's going under massive development at the moment. Now, that should all be. I think if that was happening next year, I think it's a fair criticism, but at the moment, you know, we have to put up with the fact that there's just Collingwood hasn't got that, you know, they've got to share that ground there.
Yep.
There is a massive development going on there, but I think you'll find, and I don't disagree that there are problems that's happened last year and it's still probably happening this year, but it is a club's requirement that they've got to have certain things with, you know, toilets and if that was happening, you know, we should be getting told that, and we would address that with the clubs. But I suppose people should understand that there's probably not a lot of facilities there at the moment while that's going on. If I was going to watch a Visy Park and I was thinking I was going to get a hot dog, I'd be taking my cut lunch before I'd go to the game.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the reality. It's going under a massive sort of. But look, I think going forward you'll have a terrific ground there that, you know, that will be. Look, there is, you know, I'd have to say that we're hoping that Collingwood might be playing a lot of their home games back at Victoria Park. We're still waiting for the council's approval on that. If that happens, well, that will be the ground for Visy will be okay next year, but I mean, for next year it'll be another ground that might provide, you know, and we'll give Collingwood a bit more, well, that's the field, this is our ground, it's back to our old.
Yep.
Our traditional home base, our spiritual home, if you like.
Yep.
You know, where I think you'll find these sort of things. But yeah, look, I understand that. But look, I think people have got to understand too that there are, you know, there's massive stuff going on there at the moment. And look, we play TAC finals there this year. We put up with that.
Yeah.
We put up with kids changing in rooms that, you know, you probably one team should be in. I mean, Collingwood go and change outside in the cricket rooms and outside the ground.
Yeah.
To play there, but because they want to play on a good surface, and it's, you know, and they, that's at the moment that's their home base. But you know, there's not enough rooms, and there's a lot of people, and the actual teams put up with a lot of inconvenience. And I can understand that. So does the public put up with it, but so does the teams. I mean, they're changing, and as I say, outside of their rooms, some are changing in rooms that, you know, I'm sitting in my lounge room here, which would be probably bigger than the change room.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Yeah.
But look, moving forward, I think, you know, just bear with us for a little bit longer, but I think you'll find that that'll be terrific next year.
John, you've been good. You've been fantastic in giving up your time. I've just got two more questions for you this morning.
Yeah.
2009 has been an interesting development for AFL Victoria off the field. I think Peter Schwab's stance, when the pressure was really on, saying that he sees a big future for the VFL going forward in its current format and really been supportive of the current structures. AFL have been trying to move in, and there's been plenty of media hype around it, saying that we could be building a super competition with the Eastern Seaboard being involved and everything like that. As operations manager, where do you see the future of the VFL currently?
Well, I can tell you categorically, at a president's meeting, which was held probably only 3 weeks ago, with Andrew Demetrio at the... That rumour is squashed. There will not be an Eastern Seaboard competition. That was told by Andrew Demetrio to the presidents. So, to your listeners, that is not on. They see the VFL as an integral part of football in Victoria. I do. I've come out of an AFL environment. I know I was involved with the Hawthorn Box Hill alignment. Peter Swab and myself want to what I said earlier in this conversation, one of the things we want to try and develop is a pathway, an extra pathway of kids coming into the VFL so they can see a chance of being drafted. Yes, we have issues, we have problems when you've got so many AFL clubs coming back, but we're trying things that will help create pathways, like the 23rd player rule. These are the things. So to answer your question, yes, VFL football has got a future. That has been told categorically by the AFL. They are supporting Peter Swob and AFL Victoria. They have told the presidents in no uncertain terms there is no way known there will be an Eastern Seaboard competition. So let's put that out. Let's finish it once and for all.
So where do you...
What was your next question?
Oh, no, we'll move on then quickly. I was just going to... The final question is a major sponsor. AFL Victoria have been, as you've mentioned, clubs on their knees. You guys have really done an amazing job on restricted finances and trying to get the best out of what you've got. Going forward, the VFL need a big-name sponsor to secure its future. The competition's at its most healthiest state in terms of the game's gone up probably 3 or 4 notches on last year, I think, in the speed and the actual on-field results. We've got a couple of teams at the back which need a bit more financial support. Where do you see that coming from? The global economic crisis seems to be dwindling as it is now, and things are progressing back in Australia.
Yeah. Look, it is. We'd love to have a sponsorship with my tipping. You know, on average, in 400,000-500,000, it would certainly help us and help our clubs. There's no doubt about it. I mean, you've got to understand, AFL Victoria is probably a $15 million business. You know, we have a tech competition. We have all the pathway of development. You know, with AusKick and all the things that go with that, and the VFL is another integral part of it as well. So it's not just the VFL competition, you know. So, you know, we have to cut the cloth accordingly. You know, the football in Victoria is an integral part of the whole structure of footy in throughout Australia, as we all know. It provides 45 to 50% of the draft. So it's an integral part of it. Yes, going forward, you know, I think Peter Harley is working. It is a difficult environment at the moment, but I think if we can start to show that what comes out of the VFL, the standard of the competition is really good. If you go and watch a pure game of VFL football, it's a good game of football to watch. And you just said that, and I agree with you. And I think even the seconds have gone up a notch as well over this year, and that's the feedback I'm getting back from clubs as well. All we can do, I think, is try and promote that sort of pathway. What we're doing we've got a great partner in the TAC, which sponsored the tech competition. Hopefully that will continue. But we've got to show that the pathway into the VFL, and so sponsors can see that, yes, this is a good competition. Yes, you know, we've got the ABC is a great partner who puts it on TV. You know, there are kids getting drafted out of, you know, we're, you know, with the, as I said, the Nahas and the picking scenario this year, I think there's more kids out there. I think there's more kids playing in the VFL competition. Given an opportunity, you can play AFL football too. That's what we've got to keep working on. So we make it attractive, say, okay, this competition is not just one of the things that gets us when people perceive it as a VFL reserves competition. That's not an AFL reserves competition. You know, it's a standalone competition with AFL players, and partnerships of AFL clubs with VFL clubs have, you know, we serve a purpose for that. But it's not just, that's one purpose it serves. The other purpose is trying to make sure the kids that go through our tax system who don't get drafted go in the VFL for a couple of years, at least keep their dream alive. Then if they don't get drafted, they go back to their local competition, metro or country. And that's good too for football, because they're better players when they go back. So it makes football strong in Victoria. So we've just got to keep working on that to try and convince people. But the AFL are trying to help us. I mean, I've got to say, I'm not here to get on the soapbox of the AFL, but they have done a lot of help with us. That's why you see a lot of the infrastructure support that's gone on into clubs. That money has come through the AFL. And we've got to, you know, that's why you see these great facilities being built at VFL venues. So I think these are the things we've got to just keep trying to promote and try and make sure people understand that this competition is has got a lot going for it and serves a lot of purposes. And we just got to, you know, we're in the biggest market in town and the media is saturated into the AFL, and we understand that. Let's be realistic. But we just got to hope that they just start to see, well, there is a real good purpose of this competition, and then that might get people interested. But it's a hard job. We just got to keep working on it, and hopefully we'll snag someone that might want to, you know, sponsor the competition. And it's hard with sponsorship. Sometimes if someone wants just a brand recognition, well, it's a good one to get onto because it gets a lot of, you know, gets photos in the paper. But not all companies want brand recognition. They've got brands. They want other things. They want, you know, they want mailing lists and things like that. That, you know, so it depends on what, you know, the proposed partners might be. Well, but, you know, we've got to keep working on it.
Well, John, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on the Saturday morning VFL football show. It's been a great chat, and I'm relieved with some of the discussion we've had this morning. So thank you for giving up your time and being so honest with the questions that I asked. And look, the competition is in a great, healthy state, and fantastic for your support of our footy show this morning.
No problem. Any time, fellas. Happy to come on.
Fantastic. There's John Hook joining us, the operations manager of AFL Victoria.